You're now tuned in to Sheriff Says
Sup.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey, what's up? This is quite possibly the most difficult podcast that I've ever had to do, because it involves telling you things that, quite frankly, I'm scared to say. I'm afraid to say what I'm about to say, but it's something that I need to say, so I'm gonna say it. I have fetal alcohol syndrome disorder, or it's called fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. It's defined as a group of conditions that can occur in a person whose mother drank alcohol during pregnancy. These effects can include physical problems and problems with behavior and learning. Often a person with FASD has a mix of these problems. Hence me. I have a really hard time because of my fetal alcohol disorder. And honestly, it's really hard to admit that. I'm scared to get looked at differently, but they've all painted me to be out. They're just painting me to be this criminal anyway, so it's like, whatever, dude. I don't care anymore, man. You know, I know that I like to give people a hard time and stuff like that, but I have FASD. That's why I am the way I am. I look smart and I look cool and all that, but I'm really just a FASD kid. And I'm sorry that I don't wear this on my sleeve, but I have been told that I should come wrapped in caution tape. I'm a slow developer. And plus, I've got PTSD. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm smart. I'm very smart. But at the same time, my behavior doesn't reflect my real intelligence. Does that make sense? And this is a call to awareness of fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. This is so hard. I can't believe that I'm even admitting this, you know, but it's, I don't want people to look at me differently. I don't want people to think that, oh, you've got a disability. You know? But I know I can be so mean. I can be really mean. But in my defense, you know, I'm sober now. I'm not doing any vaping. I don't smoke weed. No, nothing. You know, I grew up getting bullied by my stepdad and by my classmates my whole life, and quite frankly, I'm still bullied to this day. I'm 39 years old, the 12th of August, and I'm still being bullied to this day. It's beyond ridiculous. It's childish, but that's not why we're here. You know, I cried my ass off in someone's DMs just a little while ago, and I won't say who because it's private. But I was crying about getting bullied my whole life. And to those who I've taken this out on, I am just so sorry. And to the people that I've apologized to before, I know I say this every time and then I turn around and I'm such an ass towards you. But I harbor resentment for those people that I do that for. I harbor resentment. I feel like I should resent that person for what they just did to me or what they just said to me. Like, you're not gonna talk to me like that. I don't think so. And then I level the playing field. And I'm sorry. And I ask you all for a truce. A lot of you were all very close friends to me. And you probably still, if we hung out, we probably forget all that happened. Now, don't get me wrong, it would come up eventually, but we probably forget that happened. You know? And to those people that I know, like, I love you and your family so much. You're all so beautiful to me. So please don't hold my behavior against me. I'm sober now, so don't expect me to be all crazy. You know? But keep in mind, I have FASD, so whenever you try to pull things on me and do things to me, you gotta remember, you're messing with somebody who has a disorder. I've got a disability. You wanna talk about mental health awareness? I honestly, for the longest time, felt that it wasn't your business. My disorder, my disability is not your business. But honestly, we should all come with warnings. Warning label, psychotic narcissist douchebag. Warning label, has FASD, is prone to fits of rage that never go anywhere, but will be very mentally stimulating and not in the best way possible. And I ask everybody, can we just be friends before anything else? And in advance, I'd like to thank you for your patience and understanding. That was very difficult. But now we move on to another difficult thing. I suspected somebody of being a trans, and I felt offended because they didn't tell me up front. Now, I don't know if they were trans. I mean, all signs point to possibly, but that doesn't mean that it's true. You understand? And that surely doesn't mean that I should treat them like that. But the fact that I had been getting lied to about other things the whole time really puts the person in question. But right now, it's not about them. This is about me and what I've got to tell you. Let me tell you something. Even if you were trans, which I'm sure you're not, probably, but even if you were, I would still love you anyways. I wouldn't be giving you the D, but I would still love you anyways. I have lots of trans friends that come up to me and they want me so bad. And all bias aside and all prejudice aside or whatever you want to call it, I can understand why. Because, and here's why. They are beautiful people, and they can see the beauty in me too. It's the whole namaste. The God in me sees and respects and acknowledges the God in you. And I'll be straight up. I honestly don't ever turn a trans person down ever. This is what happens. We have a long conversation. In other words, I get to know this person very well within the short amount of time that we're talking. But as far as giving them attention that I don't give to other people, we have a long conversation. Then of course I get curious and I ask to see the D, see if I can even manage having that in my life. Turns out I never can. I'm a straight guy, I'm not gay, I don't dig that. But I end up connecting with the person so much that I want to see what they're working with to see if it's something that I can work with. And if I get turned off, I mean, that's obvious that that's a no, you know, but it turns out that I never can, you know, but I at least try. I at least try to get them, you know, give them I at least try to get them to a space to where, you know what, let's see what you got. I give them a chance. You know, I at least try to harbor whatever connection it is we've got. Because if we're connecting and that person is funny and they seem like they're really cool to be around, and okay, oh, whoa, you're trans? Oh, you're trans? Oh my goodness, you are so beautiful of a person. You are beautiful. And don't get me wrong, I'm not really into trans, but you're beautiful. You are a beautiful person. And, you know, even though I can't do it, I'm not rude to them, I respectfully eventually quit talking to them, but I wait till the end of the conversation. I don't just rush to get them off the hook, you know what I mean? I don't rush to let them off the hook. I just respectfully quit talking to them whenever the conversation is finished, and we don't converse after that, because it's obvious that it's not going anywhere. But the fact is that I never turn them down. I'm not rude like that. I just never turn them down because I love them so much. I have honestly fallen in love with that person as a person. Let's say that they were female. I would totally go for it. Because, like I said, I get along with that person. You know, and that's the honest truth. Because I know that I would definitely get with them if they were a girl and could have kids. Because they are always so beautiful and have amazing personalities. And it always sucks that I have to walk away. But there's always that genuine connection. You know, and I never admit that to anyone. I don't tell people about that because I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I even considered being with a trans person because of the background that I come from in the South, in Texas, and in Louisiana. I'm taught that that's wrong. You would get your ASS kicked over that, you know? And now keep in mind, it all comes down to the physical attraction. If I can't do it, I can't do it. And that's what that comes down to. It's not about what that person is, because that's not it. I still keep talking to them. I still want to get to know them. And I still ask them about themselves. Like, what do you do this and da-da-da-da-da? You know, and then they start saying like really over-sexualized things. And I'm not taking it there. I'm not the type of person that does that. It takes somebody else showing sexual special interest towards me for me to actually start talking like that. You know, oh, okay, well, you're interested? Well, this is what I would probably do if I was there, da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? It's not disrespectful. They say, you know, I would so let you come over and pound me in the A, you know? And I'm just like, whoa, what? You know? Like, no thanks. But, you know, I don't admit that to anybody because I don't even want to be known for considering that. But now we've reached a day and age to where I can openly talk about this because, you know, gay people and trans people, at least they should be, but there are more of them that are being accepted these days. That behavior is being more accepted these days. I'm not here to say it's right and I'm not here to say it's wrong. I'm just here to say that, you know what? That is still a human being. They can get a sexual change, you know, and become whatever they want. But even then, I still wouldn't go for it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's that lingering thought that we're never gonna have kids. We will never have kids. And that's just that. And that, my friends, is one of the hardest things in my life I have ever had to admit. And I don't even have to admit it, but I want to tell this story because, you know, these people are still humans. You're still a person, no matter what type of body you have, no matter what sex you think you are or aren't, no matter what you end up being, you're still a beautiful human being. I suppose that this is the moment you've all been waiting for. At least the media hounds have. The story behind Is Anybody Down? Craig kept trying to drag me into that, and I wasn't having that. I just had a hard time telling him no. I would finish talking to him, and I'd have so much to say. But I would never say it to him, because he was my friend, and I wanted to keep him as a friend. I didn't want him being like, oh, well, screw that guy. He doesn't want to help me, blah, 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 you know, or whatever. I had a hard time telling him no. He was my best friend. And we met through the internet, through MySpace back in the day. You know, but like I said, I would finish talking to him, and I'd still have so much to say, so much left on the table to say to him. And I would just never say it because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Yes, I got wrapped into a couple of things, and he'd make it look like I was always helping with him. But in the end, it was always just him venting to me or asking me for free advice or asking me to do something for him. You know, then he came up with that lawyer crap. You know, he showed me the page, and I started out suggesting, like, you know, you can't have them typos like that. You know, that's worded awful, right? Like, nobody's gonna believe this, right? And, you know, then there's Ashley. Ashley is my youngest baby mama. Our middle child, I find out, is not even mine. But the fact of the matter is that we both sat there, her and I, and we rewrote that article to be better worded. And she helped the entire time that I was editing that text. And if I remember correctly, she sat down and edited the text with me. So yeah, baby mama is not so, how do you say, innocent. You know, I never told anybody all this. But she helped the entire time that I was editing the text. I attribute a large part of her being the driving force behind me doing all this because she needed drug money, I guess. You know, she would harass me until I collected money from Craig. I didn't want that money. It was dirty to me. But I wanted a place to stay, and I wanted to continue my life with my family that we started, even though she was psychotic, violent, narcissistic, attacking me upon several occasions, physically, violently. You know, I got extorted by her. And I struggle to admit that. And I'm sorry that I didn't tell you guys sooner. But I was scared. I honestly was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. Craig was getting talked to by the FTC. He told me that an FBI agent had questioned him about it, but then the FBI agent decided that he wasn't doing anything wrong, that he had done nothing illegal, and so I believed him. Okay, cool. And maybe he didn't tell the truth to the FBI guy. Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. But keep in mind, I wasn't involved in that crap. I told you what my involvement was. Plus, I left, like, what, a comment? And then some people started in on me online. You know, how that happened is this dirtbag lawyer gets involved named Marco Randazza. And I get sicked on him like I'm some kind of attack dog. And I cut that nigga so deep that he has people write hit pieces on me constantly. And that's the result of those negative articles that you see. Well, I'm telling you straight up, I'm still maintain my innocency because I didn't help Craig with that shit. That was his baby. He did that. That's what he wanted to do. It's just, I'm a stickler for grammar. If you even think to say grammar Nazi, I won't be so happy with you. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I cut that guy so deep, Marco Randazza. I cut Mark so deep that that's the result of those articles. You know, and this is so hard to admit to you, I'm telling you. You know, I just tried being damage control the entire time. That's basically what this came down to, is making sure that my best friend didn't get locked up for whatever stupid thing he's getting into. I didn't even understand why he was doing that. None of that made sense to me. You know, I didn't want to see my best friend get screwed. I've known Craig since 2005, since MySpace was huge. You know, back whenever I got 50K followers, which is 50,000 followers, and I got famous off of it. Harry Fox Company bought and destroyed the entire site just because I was king of the MySpace internet radio charts. Panic at the Disco, The Killers, all them, they all hated the fact that some kid with homemade music outdid them. I wasn't even playing live. I was just making home recordings. Brutal metal with mediocre equipment, all by myself. You know, there's a song that went, "The red light flashes violently across the skyline. Watching as it disappears into the night, I shove aside the urge as I try to fight. The birth of this wolf coming to life. The instincts conjuring. The animal is surfacing." And I wrote that in Yavapai County Jail because I ran from the cops once. I lost my rights because it was a felony to run from the police. And to top that off, Ashley, my baby mama, was the one that actually paid for me to get my rights restored. And she has held that over my head ever since. Acts like I'm such a horrible human. Like, I owe her the world. She hangs over me like it's a piece of meat, like it's some kind of treat or something. You know. But whenever I got out of Yavapai County Jail, I killed the charts with that song. I killed the charts with that song. And they couldn't stand it. You know, I was a masked man on the internet. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know who was doing this. I made it to where you could not tell who I was. You had no way of knowing. There were little clues, but you had no idea. You know, who the F is that? How is he doing this? How did he get so many fans? Well, honestly, a large part of my fame on MySpace came from anonymity. It really did. Now, I was still known as Chance, and I was still rapping under the name Chance. And I was still performing under the name Chance. But on MySpace, that was a different story. That was just... those were songs that I couldn't do live. I didn't have a band. So that was what that was. So I named it the Sutakira album. But it was by chance. I didn't market it on MySpace as that, you understand? But in person, everybody knows that I'm Chance. They know that I rap. They know that I've got all these songs in my head and made, and I freestyle. They all knew that. But on MySpace, I got famous by anonymity. The Katai Shin album, the Sutakira album, those albums got me famous on MySpace. And I honestly should have never showed my face to people. Because the day I did was the day my life became hell. They all found out and I became a huge target. I felt that I owed it to my fans though, to show them who I was, to show them my face. Because, you know, they had followed me for so long, like, who is that? Oh, it's Chance. It's Chance, oh my goodness. I released everything, like, here guys, my name is Chance and this is what I look like. And they all found out and I became that huge target, you know? But by doing that, I was able to do what Slipknot couldn't, and Slipknot was able to do what I couldn't. Let me explain myself. I couldn't profit from my music. I just couldn't do it. It wasn't up to par. And they couldn't stay truly anonymous. They just couldn't. When you're touring and things like that, people are gonna find out who you are. They're gonna Peter Parker you. Oh, this is Spider-Man. That's the Spider-Man right there. It's him, it's Peter Parker. He admitted it to me. You know, eventually those photos started getting out and they were like, you know what? Now, I don't know if this is why, but like eventually they were just like, you know what? I now have to go do Stone Sour. So if I want to keep doing Stone Sour, but have the name recognition of Slipknot to get me there, then people are gonna have to know who I am. That's whenever they all became unmasked, and you know, the only way you could find out who they were was to go to their concert and to see them and meet them live, in person, I mean, backstage and all that, you know? But, you know, I don't even care if this is a mistake admitting all this to you. Like, I do. Don't get me wrong, because I'm sure that people want to harm me because of what I did and didn't do and what they think I did and didn't do. But I'm telling you straight up, I didn't try to extort people. I didn't post their nudes online and hold them for ransom. I wasn't the one collecting the money from the people who were paying it. I was collecting money because I was told by my baby mama that basically if I wanted to continue this with her and keep my family and my life, that this is what I now had to do. That is the unfair assessment on me, is that now I had to do this. I had to perform that way. I had to go out and collect this money from a guy that I think is a dirtbag, you know, that I'd rather just not talk to. Online, it's a different story, you know? I can keep him at a distance. I can walk away anytime. But honestly, you know, what it came down to is like, you know, he wasn't making the best decisions. I'd say he was a dirtbag, I'd say he was crappy, I'd say he was this and that, but he's still my friend. You know? Because, like, I got to know him, and deep down, he's a good guy. He's trying to make the right decisions. Like, he's explained all types of things to me, and I think he's very intelligent. But, you know, whenever you do bad things to people, you know, it's not so cool. And believe me, I was not okay with any of this. But you have to understand, I have FASD, so I'm not always all there. I'm not always thinking perfectly, as I would say, I guess. You know, nobody's perfect. Nobody always makes the right decisions. Like, there's a girl just now who is being looked at for dog abuse. Now, keep in mind, she was roughhousing the dog and yelling at it. But it's a dog. Dogs bark at each other loudly. They bite each other for fun. They push each other around. Dogs are bullies to each other. But that is in their nature. Now, as far as spitting on the dog, that's a whole different story. But what is spitting on a dog gonna do? Besides, a dog licks you in the face all day long. They probably, I don't know, probably don't mind. They don't care. Just don't throw a rock at the dog. Don't hurt the dog. You know, and if a dog was being hurt, the dog would go, but that dog didn't. The dog didn't. The dog wasn't being hurt. And, you know, just leave that girl alone. Because y'all are doing to her what you did to me. And it's not okay. Yes, I understand. Maybe she needed to have something shown in her face to show her that, yeah, you know what? You're not making the best decisions. I get that. But to harass and harm somebody the way that you're doing, that's not okay. That is not okay. But bringing things to her attention, as she has admitted that you guys have done for her, cool. But man, the way you guys are going about doing that, that's not very cool. And I'm sorry to have to admit this, but the way y'all are going about that is very psychotic. Please, for the love of God, leave that girl alone. Leave Brittany alone!